Friday Restaurant News Now, and with us is, from Choose Chicago, the tourism agency of our great city, it is, and let me make sure I'm saying it right, Fabiola Sierra. Fabiola, good morning.
Yeah, you got it.
This is very interesting. I know pizza lovers are going to enjoy hearing about this. Choose Chicago is making it possible for us all to get a Chicago pizza pass. And actually, you've got this going on already now, don't you, Fabiola?
Yes, we do. We launched it July 1, and it's going to go until December 31st.
All right. Now, what exactly is it?
Yeah. So it is a digital savings pass, essentially. You can just go to our website at chaipizzapass.com and sign up for $15, and it'll give you access to 31 discounts to a few local pizzerias here in Chicago.
And how long will this be going on, this offer?
Yeah, so this will be going on till December 31st. We have a few kind of fun opportunities. If pass holders visit 5 or more unique pizza places by the end of September, you'll get a chance to be entered for a pizza party. And if folks visit more than 10 unique places by the end of the year, you'll get a chance to be entered to our kind of Chicago staycation sweepstakes.
It's a pretty good list. You got Malnati's on there, Giordano's, Connie's, 25 in all, right?
Yeah, so there are now 31 locations.
Oh.
We are consistently growing, which is so great. But not only are we serving, you know, deep dish, but there's also tavern style. We have a variety of things. So I think it's a great opportunity to explore neighborhoods and, you know, check out some new pizza places.
This is a great idea. What was the genesis of this?
Yeah, so we just wanted to really explore, you know, bringing up pizza, you know, because Chicago is known for deep dish, but we are known for so much more than that. And trying to get people out to our 77 neighborhoods, we kind of go into quite a few, either on the north side, west side, and south. So, again, just getting people out there.
Yeah, all kinds of different pizzas at these places. So, again, to get the Chicago Pizza Pass, you go to the website. Give us that address again.
Yeah, so it's chaipizzapass.com. Again, this is not an app or anything that you need to download. For $15, you buy it, and you're able to, like, bookmark it onto your home screen, and it's pretty easy to use.
ShyPizzaPass.com. What's your favorite, Fabiola? Where did you grow up?
I live over on Pilsen, and I've actually have tried the Williams Inn pizza already from this pass, and so far it's pretty good. On the app, you're able to actually vote as well for your favorite pizza. So that's kind of a fun little activity as you're going through on this pass, too.
And in addition to that, there are prizes. And how do you enter to win the prizes?
Yeah, so if you visit more than 5 or more by the end of September, you know, you get a chance to enter. And there's like a pizza party we can throw for you. But by the end of, sorry, that's for September, but by the end of December, if you visit more than like 10, we'll be able to enter you for a little Chicago getaway that includes, you know, a restaurant gift card, a hotel stay, and just kind of more there.
So basically, you are rewarding people for eating a lot of pizza.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. I like that idea. And will Choose Chicago be coming up with other similar promotions for foods maybe other than pizza?
Yeah, we hope so. Previously, we had launched a Chicago Brew Pass that was kind of like a beer passport, and that did really well. We're just kind of exploring what else we can do to highlight, you know, Chicago's best.
The Chicago Pizza Pass, check it out. And once again, that's chaipizzapass.com, chaipizzapass.com, $15, and you can sign up today, get access to deals until the end of the year, no apps or downloads required. Sounds like a win-win. It's Fabiola Sierra from True Chicago. And I hope you have a good pizza eating weekend. Thank you, Fabiola.
Thank you.
More of our Friday food news now. And Vice President of Food Service Publishing Company, Kerry Miller, is with us. His trade publications are widely read in the industry. Kerry, good morning. Let's talk first about what's happening now in the restaurant business. Are owners still recovering from the pandemic? How's that going?
Good morning, Bob. They certainly are still recovering from the pandemic, and it's going. Fortunately, nobody is going to stop eating, but I believe restaurant owners and everybody else in a retail food business needs to be a little smarter, different, a little bit more nimble and engaging in order to maintain and generate their sales.
What's the latest on food costs to the restaurants? And, of course, we end up paying more when those prices go up.
Well, that is true. We are all paying more for everything. The margins have never been so thin in the restaurant business. At our last quarterly event, a very high-profile, prominent restaurateur shared with our audience that he now has a 4% margin on every dollar of sales that he generates, meaning what's left over at the end of the day is 4 cents on every dollar. And the problem with that, Bob, is that if the air conditioning breaks, the refrigerator breaks, you kind of have a tough time fixing the equipment and paying your bills. So I think it really forces an owner to be a little bit more proactive on doing special things to generate ancillary sales.
Just by comparison, would that margin have been a lot higher a few years ago?
A few years ago, post-pandemic, maybe not, but I think prior to the pandemic, you may have been in the 8 to 12% range for most concepts as far as like bottom line dollars at the end of the day.
And does that mean we're going to be seeing menu prices going up, or does that mean what's on the menu is going to be shrinking?
I think all of the above. Smaller menus give owners the opportunity to have less waste and also do kitchen production with fewer employees. I think it does mean shorter hours at times, because that will reduce the overhead where you don't have as many employees in the slow times that you have to pay every hour.
Isn't there less demand now for late night dining?
There is less demand for late night dining, and there also seems to be a consensus that there are not as many turns in dining rooms, where a busy place might have turned their dining room three and a half times on a busy night, and maybe now it's 1 to 1.5 times. And I think most hospitality professionals would agree that people just don't go out at nighttime the way they did, where they might have, you know, 5 years ago met a buddy for a cocktail at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. They're not really doing that anymore.
Yeah, I've noticed a couple of restaurants that used to be really happening after 9 o'clock at night now close their doors and lock up by before 10.
This is happening all over the place, Bob, and I guess that does indicate lower demand at the table. And you have to realize, too, a lot of people do buy food on the third-party apps now, so they don't need to leave their house. They can stay home and eat in their pajamas on the couch.
Yeah, good point. I'll tell you, one late-night spot hoppin', the Jack in the Box. I know out in Countryside, Steve Dahl posted something on this. Late at night, the cars were lined up as far as you could see. What are you hearing about that?
Well, I think there's a lot of buzz with people that remember Jack in the Box from decades ago, and a lot of nostalgia. And, you know, it's probably one of those things that sounds really great, and then as soon as you have the bite of that deep-fried taco, it brings you back instantly to the 1970s.
Yeah, and as soon as you have that bite at about midnight, you remember a lot of things. Are you watching the bear? I'm hearing that people in the business, aren't really paying much attention to it. I know one of the Let Us Entertain You executive partners, Chris Mears, is quoted in Neil Steinberg's column today saying running a restaurant isn't like the bear. He bailed out after a couple of episodes. He said it was too stressful, not how an Italian beef joint runs. Mears said that's now how it is, not how it should be. I couldn't stand it for more than a minute. Every shift is a disaster on the bear. And Chris thought to himself, how is that possible? I always expect consistency and excellence. What are you hearing and what do you think?
I have heard, and I kind of agree with this statement, that it is a little bit stressful to watch. While it is engaging and there's great drama, I think you have enough drama being in the restaurant business, and then to go home and watch that on TV is probably no fun because it just creates a little bit more anxiety.
Yeah, the rest of us are watching. Before we let you go, Carrie, talk about Schmoozefest and your publication.
Well, our publication has been around since 1982. It reaches all of the different channels in the food industry, from grocery, restaurants, food distribution, supply chain. It's a print publication, Bob. We still print it every month, 12 times a year. It's also online. It can be accessed from our website, foodindustrynews.com. It's free to anyone that wants to read it because we know that there's a great number of people that still fantasize about going into the restaurant business. So we want to be inclusive, let everybody read our trade magazine. And then to complement the magazine, we have quarterly Schmoozefest events where we get a speaker from a major restaurant chain, a well-known chef, someone like that that people want to listen to. So we do that for the first hour. And then after that, we have a little mini trade show networking party where buyers can meet suppliers and move their business forward.
People are gluttons for punishment. They want to get in the restaurant business still. Carrie Miller, Food Industry News. Thank you, Carrie. Enjoy the
Thank
weekend.
You, Bob.
Talk to you
Thank
soon.
Thank you very much.